Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is a Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And we have to report that Jennifer Landa is not on the news show this week. We wanted to make sure we got her Star Wars thoughts and her life thoughts and her thoughts, all the thoughts, on the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. So instead of doing the news with her this week because of recording schedule constraints and conflicts, we recorded episode 6 of the Obi-Wan Kenobi report coming out this week with Jennifer. So because of that, Joseph, it's you and I on the news. Can we carry this burden?
We're going to have to. I will miss Jennifer helping us carry the news. But we already recorded that Kenobi report, spoilers, and it was a really great conversation. Really great to get Jennifer's insights and thoughts on Kenobi. So I'm looking forward to releasing that one and talking news now.
Absolutely. We are going to talk about some news, including some news that was just kind of, as always, dropping as we were recording. We'll update you on that. This is breaking news from a long time ago. And before we get to it, I want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we'll have our 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, life adventures, I don't know. That could be dark and gloomy, but did you have any? Star Wars find its way into your life?
Oh, you know, I did have some life adventures. There's a lot of hard things going on in the world, some personal stuff that is just life, but it's a challenge, but it's definitely there. And then this is one of the really weird weeks for like, hey, Star Wars Adventures. Yeah. Kenobi came out and we did our review. And then we did a great stream with Alex from Star Wars Explained. And then we did a Q&A on Friday. And it was like, oh, so much Star Wars. But then I really thought like, okay, you know, not recording what was my Star Wars adventure. And honestly, it came down to two things, hope and action figures.
There you go.
A little bit tied together for me, but I'll say the fun thing, the action figures, they had announced they're doing all these exclusives, and they had announced that there's a cool exclusive on Amazon of Meat Cutting Obi-Wan with the blue shirt, 3 3/4 vintage. It's a 3-pack. So then he also comes with Teeka the Jawa, so you can make him barter, and then a Purge Trooper, which is like, cool looking trooper. Great. I want those. And I noticed it and I saw it and it's like, okay, I got a plan the next day. And I even had some friends who are sure to DM me going, you know, this is here, right? Which I very, very much appreciated. And I'm normally really good at converting the times. And I think they had announced East Coast time. And I had a brain dysfunction, a brain failure about the time. And I was like, oh, man, it opened at this time. And I opened it and it looked like it was all sold out. And it's like unavailable. I was like, I should have remembered. I should have set an alarm. And then we did some more work. And then about an hour later, I was like, maybe they added some more. And I opened it up and it was like, go ahead and buy. And I was like, oh, I did the time wrong. And I smashed that purchase button and it made me very happy. So there you go. A little 3-act story of wanting something, failing to get it, but then getting it. So the action figures always do bring me joy. I joke about them, but they are like a big way that I connect to what the stories mean to me. And they are just joyful. Connect me to my entire journey with Star Wars. So action figures. And then the simple thing with Hope is just it is such an important part of the Star Wars story. Obviously, the recent Obi-Wan Kenobi show, I think, is very much about finding hope in dark times and celebrating little victories on the path. And I ended up thinking about that a lot this weekend because there are a lot of challenges in the world, a lot of challenges in life. And I need that hope. I need it right now. I need to listen to Star Wars. So on my very real Star Wars adventure was just like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi TV show. You're my only hope to keep my head up. And that did help a lot. So my Star Wars adventure this week, honestly, was just being very grateful for the messages of Star Wars, the message of this recent Kenobi television show, of just really needing to choose hope and to, even though times are rough and look bad, to stay attached to that hope in everything from big world challenges to personal life stuff, to having a positive attitude about Star Wars, everything. You know, my Star Wars adventure this week was help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi television show. You're my only hope. That was the vibe. Lots of other stories in Star Wars, but obviously that's the one on my mind now. So it was good. It was really, really good to be able to turn to Star Wars to help help during difficult times.
Yeah, difficult times indeed. And you know, we talked a little bit about the live show Friday night, and a lot of people upset, a lot of passions running wild, a lot of anger, a lot of sadness, a lot of hurt, and those affect you as a human being involved in this world we have. And so that definitely was dominant in my weekend as well. We'll highlight now. We always highlight at the end of the show, but I think it's good to say, man, we at Force Center made a decision to support the GoFundMe begun by a lot of great Star Wars podcasters and commentators and pundits called What Choice? Star Wars Fans for Abortion Access. You can find it on GoFundMe.com/F/What-Choice. We'll highlight it again at the end of the show, but wanted to highlight it here. That's what was one of the things that we decided to do as a show. To do our part, and you talk often, Joseph, and it's one of the themes of Kenobi, the small victories matter, or small actions, and that was something I was proud to stand behind here. As always, if that doesn't jive with you, we understand, but this is something that we are doing, and we are doing with our show. So that kind of, I don't want to say felt good, Joseph, nothing about this weekend felt good, but it just felt like, all right, forward. Let's find a way forward. And that was something I was happy to be a part of this weekend. And I love that Star Wars inspires in that way. It's a valuable lesson. I mean, to even call this What Choice, to invoke Jyn Erso's speech just makes me happy that Star Wars is in my life. It means so much to me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, there are so many levels of Star Wars, and we always talk about it, from the silly to sort of, you know, debating about, does this make sense in canon, to the really cool action, and so many ways to express your fandom, from cosplay to action figures to anything. So many ways to express your fandom. But for a lot of it, at the end of the day, I think that a lot of us come back to Star Wars because there is this depth, and to see that it truly does matter. And all the quotes, the way that the GoFundMe What Choice is constructed with Jin's quotes, are really a powerful reminder that the ideas of Star Wars really truly matter. I thought it was really well constructed, and I was very, very happy to support it and promote it.
Yeah. And you know, and the other, you got to take care of yourself too. All of you out there listening, take care of yourself. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you fall on things. You know, we definitely, promote mental health here and taking care of yourself. So I did that too, Joseph. And one of the Star Wars ways I did that is, I had, a while ago, we talked about it. I think a question came in, or, you know, if we would choose characters from it. And I finally downloaded, and I have that Star Wars Heroes game on my phone.
Ooh.
And I just did one of those things where I just sat on my couch and I held my phone to my face and I played until I drooled, you know, where I'm like, all right, I guess it's time to go make dinner. And it's fun. And it's kind of like a lot of those phone games, gets a little repetitive. You go here, you go there, you go there. But it's just fun to see my little team together, which is like, it's weird. It's Clone Wars, Anakin, New Hope, Kenobi, sequel trilogy. No, Force Awakens, Rey. Farm Boy Luke. It's just this weird all-star team of heroes that I got going through the galaxy, fighting, Tusken Raiders, Stormtroopers, Emperor's Royal Guards. I beat Tarkin in a fight. And you know what? The phone games, they're not the most dynamic games at times, but if you just want to turn your mind off and then just see, like, look at that. I got Rey and Farm Boy Luke in a fight together. That's awesome. Like, it's a fun way just to kind of turn off your brain and enjoy Star Wars. So Star Wars found me in that time too.
Oh, that is very, very good. Yeah. I think that's a perfect example of, it can be there for us at the greatest depth. And then it can be there for, it sounds like you needed some escapism and you needed Farm Boy Luke to take it to Tarkin.
It was great. It's great. He's got his, that long rifle he has that he never uses, right? He just pulls it from the speeder when they're looking for R2, and you actually see it in action. You actually get to fire it.
Oh, wow. Really cool. Wow. Yeah. That was a birthday gift from Beru, I bet.
Yeah. I don't know. It just showed up, but I wrapped it for you. Here you go. I don't know who left it for. Yeah.
That is great.
Great Desert adventures. Santa came by. Yeah.
Desert
Santa. There you go. Desert Santa. That's our life at Star Wars Adventures right now. We press on into Star Wars news. As we said up top, as we're getting set up to record this episode, either the news drops too late or it drops way late. And after we release the episode, there is an interview going around, and people are probably already talking about it by the time we release this episode on the direct.com. It's an interview with Stuart Beatty, one of the credited writers and story by guys for the Kenobi series. Of course, Stuart Beatty, long been, suspected to have written the movie. Mm-hmm. I synced up some old dots from the movie news business I was in for a while, going, oh yeah, that's right. That's what I had heard. And Joseph, you and I have been talking about it, tracking the writing credits with, you got Hossein Amini, Joby Harold, other writers as well. Not to go down that side of that conversation again, but the interview's great. And there's some insights, especially some stuff if you're looking towards season two or a potential season two of Kenobi. Some, I don't know, at this point, I mean, call it confirmation, but just reinforcing the idea that, yep, some film stuff was planned with Kenobi. The solo struggle at the box office, whatever you want to call all that, did kind of affect the future of that film. And Stuart Beatty had nothing to do with the show, other than some of his ideas and words remain, which is why he gets some credit there as well. We've tracked that a bit, Joseph, there, and there's more to dive in here on this, but we just want to acknowledge it, yes?
Yeah, no, it was a really great interview. Ken found it as we were going over our notes before we got started, and so we both did a quick read through. So not doing a full deep dive into it, because honestly, a lot of it is confirmation of things we talked about. You had your sources, our analysis of the writing credits. The writing credits tell a story that mm-hmm. he is credited with some story by, in particularly in the beginning chapters and the end chapters, which really spoke to. Yes, he wrote an early version of this overall story. So that got confirmed. The Solo, the idea that the Kenobi movie was a go, but then because of Solo, it backed off. That is also confirmation. I think the most interesting news in there is the idea that there was a trilogy planned, and some of Stuart Beattie's thoughts on how the trilogy might go and what Obi-Wan would need to face as he came out of his trauma, and then what is his next challenge to face, which is a lot of stuff about maybe Qui-Gon is preparing him for the future, which there's a part of me is like, oh, let's dive into that. But we already have, and we're going to again. I think it's going to, you know, should there be a Kenobi season two is going to be one of the conversations that everyone in the Star Wars talking community is going to have a lot. And what seems like it's right there for season two is Kenobi's training. So I think we're going to be talking about that a lot more in the future.
Yeah, we will indeed. We will indeed. And it's so weird. This is a great little interview. I love the Qui-Gon stuff. I flip-flop on whether I actually want a season two or more content. Do I want in the end? Yes. You know, I'm going to sit down and watch it, but where I'm like, am I really satisfied? Do I want more? I flip-flop every hour, Joseph. And this interview might have flip-flopped me again. I won't reveal which way.
I understand. I'm flip-flopping on Kenobi. It's so beautiful. The message of letting go at the end is so like, yes, and I should let go of Obi-Wan. And they're like, but I don't want to. There's more story to be told.
Yes, 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 yes. It sounds like Palpatine's talking to us. It sounds like you like Kenobi. Yes, yes.
I do, Palpatine. I choose him.
Choose him. All right, some other Star Wars news. This is, you know, I think this is pretty big, and I didn't see it discussed in a lot of places, but also the internet was weird, wild battleground, even more than normal this weekend. So I might have missed some of this. I am reading from a story from the Washington Post. John Williams he was honored at the recent Kennedy Center Awards. I guess I can say one of my pals, former Four Center guest, Adam Witt, was there. He does some work. Again, I don't know what I consider now, but he does some work and has edited some things around performances that Williams does on the road. And he actually sent me and our pal Jennifer Murrow a picture. He was sitting close to John Williams and Kathleen Kennedy. It was like a once in a lifetime thing. And he was like, I was living through him the night. But great thing. I think I was focusing on that and Adam's pictures and then missed this kind of news, Joseph. But John Williams is not done by any means at 90. The recent Kennedy Center honoree is still writing concert music, releasing albums. He and Yo-Yo Ma released one recently. But while speaking with the Washington Post, the maestro said his score for Indiana Jones 5, still untitled at this point, of course, will be his last. Now, obviously, yeah, I don't, 90, he's still going strong, Joseph. He's still playing concerts. He's still doing the stuff. He's still doing the thing. But this wasn't surprising in a way. But what comes to our hearts when we hear that? What comes to your mind when that idea of Williams retiring it hits your head?
There is, of course, some sadness, is with a lot of these moments that we have to go through as generations pass. There's like, you know, when we were talking about who should voice this, who should play that, it's like, yes, my first choice is live forever. that's not realistic. So there is some sadness, but honestly, my overwhelming emotional reaction is deserved.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you have given. And at 90, you do whatever you want, man. I really do feel like, you know, he has, it's so wonderful to see somebody so talented, very humble and thoughtful about it, as always in this interview, have created and crafted so much. And I almost feel like this is a man whose career is a giant sundae. And I feel like he's put about 7 cherries on the top, right? Like, yeah. He could have stepped back from the Skywalker saga, right? He could have not done the sequel trilogy. But, you know, we know the great story of he's really moved by the character Rey and he wanted to do all that music. And then he's the one who raises his hand and is like, Solo, can't do the whole movie, but I want to do a theme. Picking up the phone, you know, in his late 80s going, you got a Kenobi? I got to do the theme for that. Like, he has continued to give out of, you know, artistic desire to do so. And for him to have this movie and say, but this one, whole scores are a lot, and this one is the last one I want to do, deserved. Let him rest. And it's a great final one, right? To be working with Spielberg and Harrison Ford. And I don't know, there's something also like, I'd be happy if this was just a random movie that I knew nothing about and never heard of, you know? Indiana Jones, that's one of the many feathers in his cap, right? So it's fun to think like, okay, that's going to be stirring. That will have the classic score. That will have variations on the classic score. But then what else will be new? What in there will be the new classic that you can't predict yet? And that's exciting to still have that gift coming along.
Yeah, well said. You know, you don't always you need to speak for me, but you kind of did there in a lot of great ways. Even helped me work through stuff. Because, yeah, my gut reaction is always like, no, especially if there's more Star Wars or anything like that. And I now to really look at it as to be thankful as a movie fan or a Star Wars fan, and definitely me, an Indiana Jones fan, that he gets to call the shot here. Mm-hmm. And he gets to say, we're out, you know, God willing, we still got to get to that finish line there. You know, 90's up there, but he's still going so strong. And it's inspirational, by the way, to have seen him in concert, you know, when he was in his young late 80s is when I saw him. And to see him just still going strong, it is inspirational as age becomes real for all of us there. So to be able to call your shot and walk off the field with your head held high is great. It's awesome. And it makes me even more thankful. Dare I say, this might ruffle feathers. It makes me more thankful for the Disney era of Star Wars that he was able to come back and that we were able to get so many great themes like you're talking about, so many great pieces of Star Wars music that we got to experience, and that he always, you know, felt a little bit of duty, a little bit of pride, a little bit of, you know, almost being protective of these new characters and the olds. Can I write a theme for Benny? And we got that for the Kenobi series, but also, oh my gosh, this new character, Rey, is amazing. And I want to help craft her theme, her music, and I'm downright protective of her. That's inspirational as well. Talking about generational change in Star Wars. So, hey, he's still going strong, yes. But this is, I think, the right way to go out, and I'm thankful he gets to do that.
Yeah, and we've both talked about it so much. Rey's theme is one of my absolute favorites. All the variations on it in Rise of Skywalker. I think the Kenobi theme is going to become classic. I think people are not hearing it as much because it's new, but it is really powerful, and I can't wait to hear it pop up more places. I saw him live in his late 80s, and I got tickets for the Hollywood Bowl. He's still doing concerts, so amazing, yeah. Amazing.
Amazing. And yet the Kenobi series soundtrack was finally released digitally. So I was listening to it this morning over notes, and it was the first time I really got to spend a lot of time with the Kenobi theme. And it is great. It hadn't jumped out to me as much during the series, because I just don't take the shows in like that. I don't listen to music first. I know my friend Mark Riley, he hears the music before anything sometimes. But man, it's a Williams home run, and he's walking off the field, tipping his cap, kids.
Yeah. I just want to throw out one thing, because it happened during so much Star Wars stuff going on that I hadn't had a chance to mention it on the podcast that I forgot. Like, I like to try to have like kind of moments to you know, symbolize and wrap up an adventure. And when you and I were back at our hotel for Star Wars Celebration, I had my lineup of all of my action figures that I had bought set up on the TV stand. And I wanted some like moment before we left to sort of just like capture the experience. And I saw that they had released, so you could listen to just the theme. And I just sat there listening to the Obi-Wan Kenobi theme, staring at my action figures.
That's great.
And it made me appreciate the theme so much. So a great John Williams adventure there.
Love that. And there was a time not too long ago that hearing Star Wars music by someone else was, hard to fathom for us fans there. But Kevin Kiner, first, we got to shout out Kevin Kiner for the Clone Wars work. And Michael Giacchino helped pave the way for other composers and us as fans to accept Star Wars music without John Williams attached. And look, yes, you can point to the realities of age or him making a choice not to do it. But, you know, it's same with like James Earl Jones and Vader, even though there's other great Vader voices out there, Scott Lawrence comes to mind. You just grow up associating those names with it. And it's hard to accept that things change. It really is. It's why Star Wars lessons of generational change and growth are important. So much great music has come since then. But temperature check, Joseph. How are we feeling about the state of Star Wars music right now, especially as John Williams looks to head off into the composing sunset?
I feel great about it, honestly. I mean, I feel like we've had a while now with other people adding to the legacy that Williams created. I love the Williams music, and I love that Kenobi made the choice to definitely have some very new things and a new composer, but to stay in that general Skywalker saga mood, because it matched what was happening in the show. So I think there are times to really emulate the style, the general orchestral style of Williams. But I don't think the music should be stuck in the past. And I really love the solo score. That's one of my very favorites, obviously with Williams' theme, but John Powell doing a great job. I love the Fett song in particular, with and without lyrics. They capture the mood of those shows in that feeling of that specific character that time. So there's a lot of examples that I can go to of Star Wars music that I'm really enjoying right now. But then Obi-Wan got me really excited, because it is kind of the first time that we're seeing variety. We're seeing the Star Wars buffet on Disney Plus, right? In the contrast between the Mando score and Boba Fett score, which are great for that world, and the Obi-Wan score, which is great for that world, I'm really excited about the future, to think like, okay, the music's all got to be Star Wars, but it's got to be the right music for the right show. So it makes me just thinking about the difference between the Mando score and the Obi-Wan score gets me excited for Andor and Acolyte and Ahsoka. And, you know, will Ludwig Göransson get to lean into the Force even more? Or will Kevin Kiner get to shine in live action? Like, I'm excited about the possibilities.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it. And yeah, I think Rogue One is a great example of something where, you know, again, Kiner kind of gets through it first. And I think now the appreciation for his music in Clone Wars and Rebels is very high, especially as those generations move forward in the conversation where they're like, who's John Williams? This guy, give me drums in my opening theme. And at the time it's harder to accept. I remember the first time I heard the Clone Wars opening theme, I was like, no, thank you, sir. And it's changed. And that's because Williams is there, and you just expect that Williams, Star Wars music, it needs to be John Williams. So they really did open that door. And the Rogue One soundtrack specifically is one that I was like, I guess it's good. Nothing grabbed me. And I've told the story before, but for maybe newer listeners, just one day having Your Father Would Be Proud play on my iPhone shuffle, it pops up. And I'm in the background going, or it's in the background, and I stop it. I go, wow, what is this? It sounds like Star Wars. I'm not picking it up. It sounds like Star Wars. Am I missing it? And it must be, maybe it's Last Jedi. I don't know. Last Jedi, been out yet. Maybe it's Force Awakens. And I go over, and it's the music from Rogue One, something that I had been on shows saying, I don't know, wasn't that good for me. And it changed my idea on how to take in the Star Wars music. And I think that's why, you know, you say you're excited for the future. I don't know. I would have fought against the Mando music 10 years ago, but I'm open to it. I think Natalie Holt is going to get more and more appreciation and credit for her work as that soundtrack lives on.
Yeah.
Separate from the show where you can hear it. So anyways, I'm wide open to it and more excited for new things to come.
Yeah, no, I'm getting that soundtrack, because sometimes that, you know, I get caught up in the story, and sometimes I hear the music and sometimes I appreciate it more when I listen to the soundtrack. So I'm really looking forward to listening to that whole soundtrack.
Yeah, recommend. She's got some the Alderaan and Leia stuff's got some real John Powell solo, that flying music vibe like that I knew was there but hadn't really picked up on as much. But now that I can listen to just the track. But hey, stop the presses, Joseph, stop the presses. And this is the thing specifically that I'm like, did I miss this? Again, world a little crazy right now, online a little crazy right now. So maybe I missed this being a news story. But during the interview, Williams, he's got a hot scoop. He said that he was making Indy 5 his last film because Harrison Ford was doing that as well. Huh? I mean, I don't remember that, Joe. Do you remember Harrison say that?
No, I do not remember seeing that plastered all over social media.
Right. Look, at the moment, he says, Williams says, at the moment I'm working at Indiana Jones 5, which Harrison Ford, who's quite a bit younger than I am, I think has announced will be his last film. So I thought if Harrison can do it, then perhaps I can also. So this goes beyond Star Wars and Indiana Jones, just being pop culture kids growing up for, you know, all these years now. I mean, again, I'll say it now. Harrison's earned the right to do whatever he wants, fly around the country in his little plane. He already does that. This shook me a little bit, Joseph. This shook me. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's always shaking when you're at an age where the people you grew up with as your heroes, yes, your stars are like, well, time for me to respectfully take a bow and the curtain to close on my public life. You're like, but how? You're Harrison Ford. You know, you're like oxygen and cheese. You exist always. Yes. Like, you know, how can just a constant? No, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's cool if you get older, but, you know, I think that's the challenge that we have as audiences, to not, obviously, creators like Williams and, you know, Harrison Ford, who's really like a public face, right?
It is easy
to treat them as living legends, but every living legend is a human being and needing to take that step back and go, yeah, no, boy, if Harrison does come out and publicly say this, and it is true, exact same as John Williams, utterly earned, right? Harrison Ford is ready to be done with films, I applaud him. I will double down on my 7 cherries on the sundae. He's come back to do Star Wars, Blade Runner, Indiana Jones. Are we going to hold him hostage until he does Witness 2? he's given us, he had a rich body of work and then had this, you know, kind of renaissance where he engaged in revisiting some of his classic roles. And I think if he's like, and now I'm going to, you know, gently walk away, so be it.
Yeah. Earned indeed. And to be clear, to my research, Harrison Ford has not said this publicly. So I would love if he's like calling up Johnny right now. What did you do that for? I'm not done. Or
it was fine. Johnny. Sorry. I almost swore there.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's again, he can walk away. It does mess with it, and that's why it hit me as a Star Wars fan. Hit me as just an aging human. It's I always say it's like when you're a sports fan and like that favorite rookie you have on your team and you're like, yeah, it's my favorite new player. And then suddenly he's not only retired, but he's like managing. And you're like, that's what old people do. What does that make me? Cause I got to face my own mortality, like Obi-Wan Kenobi in the desert there. So we'll see. We'll keep you updated. Obviously, both of these gentlemen have a large body of work to celebrate forever and ever. Amen. And we will. So we'll keep you updated. But I thought it was hilarious. It just seems like we're John. I could call him Johnny because it's always his early credits. I love that if you look at the old TV shows, it's Johnny Williams with the score. Yeah, I just love that John Williams, he's at that age where it's like, oh, did I say that? Yeah. Okay. Anyways, yeah, that's true. I'm having fun living my life. So.
Yeah, and if they did have a conversation about it, I'm thinking this is my last one. You know, I agree. It's really fun to imagine that conversation to hear them chatting about it. Final thing for me on this article is, you know, if you have access to Washington Post, there's a bunch of just wonderful, beautiful quotes from John Williams talking about that being an artist, particularly a musician, is spiritual, a realm that's above the mundanities of everyday life. Some just really beautiful quotes and thoughts about music. So I'm just glad that you picked this one out, Ken.
Great stuff. Two big names. It means so much to us. All right. We're going to take a quick break on the other side. Some more news. Look back in Star Wars history. Before that, we're going to do a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have this week?
We are continuing to recommend Leia, Princess of Alderaan by Claudia Gray. After little Leia's adventures in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, it's just a springboard to making me want to reread that book. So highly recommended to read or listen.
Yes, check it out. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForeCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForeCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break, and then aside, more news here on ForeCenter.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, the main show, the super star destroyer of our news fleet. We took that main show fleet and divided it up into a lot of little squadrons, which is a lot of fun. We could spend more time on the news here. Joseph, we're going to move on from our own mortality to someone else who already dealt with immortality, at least as a character. Liam Neeson on his Qui-Gon return. I was kind of waiting for this, kind of expecting it. And also wanted to see if we're ever going to get an answer on his lie to try to cover this up, which, by the way, I don't care. I think that's very fun. But while speaking with The Hollywood Reporter, Liam Neeson was asked about his surprise return to Star Wars as Qui-Gon Jinn in Obi-Wan Kenobi. His response was pretty direct. I certainly didn't want anyone else playing Qui-Gon Jinn, and I wanted to show my respect for George and that mythical world that he created. Plus, Ewan is a pal, and I love working with him during The Phantom Menace 25 years ago. Pretty direct, Joseph. Thoughts on his many reasons for returning?
Oh, it's great to hear this little quote. You know, it's a pretty short, pretty direct article. I do like that the article begins by saying, Star Wars fans were floored on Wednesday when Qui-Gon Jinn returned. Were we floored? I feel like most people, you know, I think most Star Wars fans were hoping for it, expecting it, and not believing Liam Neeson's, you know, kind attempts to cover it up. I really like his reasoning, right? That it was twofold, that he has great respect for Lucas and the world. That just speaks to, he talks a little bit more about having a good experience on the prequels, and that just speaks to, like, I've always liked this character. There's never been a dark time for me. I came back to do the voice in the Clone Wars. If he's going to be there in spirit, I wanted it to actually physically be me. it's all just very great and heartwarming. And then anytime that, you know, two actors can say that they're pals in real life, that's always better than the alternative. So it was fun to hear, like, yeah, I love you, and I wanted to hang out with him.
Yeah, right. You know, imagine it's probably been a bit. It's probably been a bit. Love that. Love that. Yeah. I love that it's pretty direct. And I love that he, you know, invokes the name of George Lucas and the world he created. And having, you know, just, I certainly didn't want anyone else playing Qui-Gon Jinn. I like that. I like that kind of, you know, protectiveness of these characters. However, it's funny. We're going to have a little bit more of this later, but I didn't think of it till now. Well, except your son is what you could add to that sentence, Liam. I didn't want anyone else playing Qui-Gon Jinn except for my son. Neeson also went on to say that he always enjoyed making The Phantom Menace and that he was proud of it. Joseph, this is truly the age of the Phantom Menace love fest, as well as the prequel eras. What is this continued celebration that film and era mean to us? Because we've talked about this before, to be clear. But to even add another thing, now good old Qui-Gon showing up and saying, yeah, no, I'm very proud of this film. So what do you think?
Yeah, it is really nice to add it to the love pile after, you know, Hayden and Ewan's tour, Moses Ingram, obviously, and Deborah Chow there as well, but on that press tour, but the focus from Hayden and Ewan about, you know, looking back on the prequel experience. And I love that one where Ewan gives a long, thoughtful explanation of the journey, and then Hayden's just like, Revenge of the Sith is a phenomenal film. this was moving to me because when I just read this article quickly, I was like, okay, cool. He said these nice things about George and Ewan, and then he talked about this, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. They pulled an old quote from 2020. I want to read it here. It says, I like The Phantom Menace, Neeson told Andy Cohen on Sirius XM channel Radio Andy in 2020. And Neeson goes on, I am proud of it and proud to have been a part of it. I got to be a Jedi. I got to play with those wonderful lightsabers and stuff. It was terrific, Andy. It really was. it was just meaningful to me that it wasn't like this quote wasn't from like this moment of re-examination that Kenobi is causing, that this was clearly a part of a conversation. I haven't listened to this interview. I don't know. But I don't know if this was coming from Andy Cohen asking, did you like that? Or if Andy Cohen was like, was it hard when people disliked it?
Right, right.
But it does, I don't know the context and I'm not claiming I do, but it does come across reading just Neeson's quote is like, no, I know that people had a hard time with it, but I sincerely liked that movie. Yeah. I like making it. I think it's a good movie. I'm proud of it. And that he was saying that in its own context, not in this current, you know, re-examination context that we're in right now. For me, it's just a really good reminder also to just, as long as it's not hurting anyone, love what you love. In Neeson coming out saying, I had a great time. I had a lightsaber and stuff. What's not to like?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, great for pulling up the full context of that too. I think I had missed that part there. I love that. This is it's interesting. Look, sometimes things, movies or shows are just bad, right? And even an actor comes out and says, oh, I loved it. It doesn't erase that you feel it's bad. I just want to put that out there and say it's clear. But I know there's just something powerful to me to just the narrative around this film and this era has so for so long been controlled by others, you know, and to have the generation of fans who it reached first. Again, not everyone. We understand that. We're examples of you and I having different relationships with the film over the years. It's grown and changed. But to have that and then have the actors either like Ewan kind of be like, oh, my, I emerged and found a different kind of love. Hayden kind of like, no, it's a great film. Revenge of Sith, great film. Stop it. And have Liam Neeson come out. It just means a lot. It just means that, again, doesn't mean all those criticisms of it aren't valid or anything. But it's I don't know. It's fun. Even it's like I have this feeling of when I hear like Daisy Ridley say some stuff. About what she is proud of Rey and her journey and character. And it doesn't mean that you have to also find that. I totally understand that, but I don't know. It just means a lot. And as this, the era, the prequels have been started to become really strongly celebrated the last few years, very clearly, especially going back to 2019. To have the actors reemerge and reconnect with Star Wars has been great. I really hope that can eventually expand to include you know, Natalie Portman's thoughts, or if she wants to, again, if they want to, Ahmed Best as a little bit of return, but I want even more. And yes, it's all kind of leads up to should he want to, should he be in a healthy space to do it? Jake Lloyd, the wizard kid at the center of it all. I just love that. I hope this doesn't end. This prequel era love is just fun. It's fun to watch, fun to be a part of, and fun to see, especially for the generation that was there at the beginning of that, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think I really like the point that you're making about everybody can always choose whether they enjoy a film or not. And if you don't like Phantom Menace, or you have arguments about, you know, the way it's structured is not successful, or this line or scene doesn't work, great. We can all have those opinions always. I think maybe some of this is kind of extra moving to me because a lot of the dislike of the film from around me, from our generation, Ken, it was spoken of as though the world had taken a vote and it was decided and it was a fact that the prequels were bad. And, you know, I still have some friends who speak that way. And maybe that's just a choice of a way to speak, to be more firm and declarative. And it's implied that it's your opinion. But for me, the overall impact of this is decided. Some floating pop culture judge has gaveled. It is bad, period. So I feel like I've lived with that for a long time. So it's refreshing to have a lot of people go like, cool, cool, cool. If people back then didn't like it, cool if you don't like it now. But there are a lot of us that love it and we can both have our opinions. And it's not a fact. It's not decided. The prequels are loved by many.
Yeah, there's some, I don't even know if this makes sense, but it's like, there's some, it's bigger because it's Star Wars, and I get it, and it should be. The talk around it should be, but there's so much of that, you know, from the really insane, extreme, George Lucas killed my childhood type of talk to what you're talking about of the gavel is banged on the pop culture judge's desk, and it's over. It's over, Commander. It's over. These movies suck. But there was just so much of, those things ruined all of this. Where it's not like, I don't know, what's a movie that bombed in our time? Like the adaptation of Bonfire of the Vanities comes to mind. We all agree that was a bad movie. And it's not like, one of the actors comes out and goes, oh, I liked doing that. All right, cool, great. But that movie's in the corner. It's Star Wars. And to have Star Wars just be the message being these things ruined Star Wars forever. To now have that not be the narrative anymore is something that I think we're celebrating as well. And I think what you're talking about, I'm just kind of adding to that idea there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I made jokes at a long time ago from that perspective. And I'm happy to have kind of taken a step back from that perspective really see that these movies have always been loved from everyone, from Liam Neeson to a kid watching Liam Neeson. These movies have always been loved.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and there's some podcasts years ago that, you know, I just feel I should blanket apologize to the prequel generation for I'm sorry I spoke on it, number one, like it was a fact, and spoke on it from actually a place of dishonesty because I wasn't telling you how much I liked some of the stuff in there. I was just trying to be a snarky podcast edge boy. We all can change and move forward. Qui-Gon will return in the Tales of the Jedi series. As I said, he being Liam Neeson, will voice some of the character. And as revealed at Star Wars Celebration, his son will voice younger versions of Qui-Gon, which we absolutely love around these parts. But any hopes for Qui-Gon moments or insights in that series? This is a bigger question, I understand, Joseph, but just right now in this news article, anything that pops to mind.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm very, very excited for it. I know we got to see a little bit of the dynamic between Qui-Gon and Dooku in Dooku Jedi Lost. But I also know that, you know, Filoni, who worked on these Tales of the Jedi shorts, has a lot of strong thoughts about what does it mean to have this chain of teachers and mentors and who taught who what and who clings to what, viewpoint on the Force, on the Jedi, on fighting techniques. So I'm really curious to see like the dynamic with Qui-Gon and Dooku. Did Qui-Gon show a lot of curiosity? Did he challenge Dooku? Was, you know, Dooku's relationship with Qui-Gon fatherly, or was it a little bit more, you know, distant? Was it a little bit more teacher student? And I know we've got some of that stuff in Jedi Lost, which I really want to revisit myself. But I'm excited to see more of that and see, you know, Filoni's creative perspective on Qui-Gon at that different age and in that relationship with Dooku.
Yeah, I think that's where my mind goes too. Just the idea that there's you know, young Qui-Gon at play. I mean, that's just fascinating to me. And yeah, there's so many things around him. As you know, is he a bit of a rebel Jedi? Is he pushed the rules? Is he an outsider, a loner, a rebel daddy? What is he? And just how he might have got to that point. And yes, there's some wonderful things already out there, but just to see it. I would be clear, obviously love the Star Wars books and the audio dramas are great as well, but to actually just kind of see it in animated form, to see young Qui-Gon moving about on my screen in any way, shape or form is something I'm really looking forward to. And just seeing there and just kind of following and tracking Qui-Gon through the years and his relationship with the Order, his position, his purpose as a Jedi, prophecies, the good, the bad, the fearful, whatever, every react to those. That's exciting stuff. And part of the reason we haven't talked too much about the Tales of the Jedi series yet, but I think it's going to be a sleeper hit, which is hard to say in Star Wars because everything is greatly anticipated.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited for Tales of the Jedi.
Tales of the Jedi, indeed. Well, that is a quick look at Star Wars news. As always, there's a lot of things out there, rumors and more shows coming. Everyone gets a Disney Plus show. Some of those things will wait until official information comes out or emerges, making it real or making it false. We will find out when the time comes. Before we leave here today, when I go to This Week in Star Wars History, looking ahead to Star Wars Past, and for our week, we're looking all the way to July 2nd, but going back to July 2nd, 1976, 'twas a great year, says Ken, born in that same year, just a few months earlier. The great publicist, and also, I want to point out, producer, writer, many things, Charles Lippincott, presented the first public slideshow for Star Wars at the Hyatt House Hotel in Los Angeles for Los Angeles' WesterCon. I do believe, I forgot to double check, but the Hyatt House, a.k.a. the Riot House, is the hotel right next to the Comedy Store, featured in Cameron Crowe's Almost Famous, if you're familiar with that one. That is a famous rock and roll hotel. But love that this has a place in Star Wars history. Star Wars and cons have a close history. Going back to the moments like these, it's part of the celebrated genius of Lippincott's promotional approach to Star Wars. He passed away May of 2020. How key, Joseph, was tying Star Wars to pop culture communities, if that makes sense in your mind. Basically saying, we don't just have a movie to promote. We have a lifestyle to promote.
I think it's just such a huge choice. I think it's a part of the success story of Star Wars, right? Instead of being cynical about, is a general audience gonna buy, you know, a guy flying around with his dog and a farm boy with a laser sword. And what is this? Who would want this? Instead of, you know, being cynical about it and going, how the hell am I going to sell this to normal people? Right. Mm-hmm. To say there is an audience for this and I know where to find them. Mm-hmm. I think it's a recognized truth, right? That there was a fervent sci-fi fantasy fan base. And at that moment, they didn't have much, right? Star Trek had been gone. Then the animated series came. And then I'm sure at this time there's, you know, rumors and whispers and hopes for the film. I don't have all of the history of the Star Trek, the motion picture. I know it was in development. I don't know exactly what people at WesterCon in 1976 knew. But it, you know, was not materializing is what it was then. So knowing that there's like a, hey, you guys are here and you like shows that have gone off the air and you like comic books. And basically if there's a dragon on the cover of a paperback, you're going to buy it because you love this stuff and there isn't much of it. What if I told you there's a new one? There's a new myth, a new lore that you could get into. It's in space, but they have swords. it is one of those things that looks incredibly logical in retrospect, but was clever, thoughtful, imaginative at the time.
Man, you're almost describing when I talk about Beatles songs. I'm like, I know it just seems like wallpaper, but it wasn't at one point. You got to understand the context span, that kind of stuff. You're so right. It's like, well, duh, but it wasn't, people weren't connecting those dots at that time. And he being one of the first, and of course, that stuff, the famous shots of he and Mark Hamill at the San Diego Comic-Con, which was, you know, two tables, pop-up tables and a banner or something like that. Crazy to think. And it's such a, you know, getting ahead of it, but just even beyond reading more of what Lippincott himself did with like pop partnerships with television shows at the time, including the Donna Marie Show, Richard Pryor Show, just kind of going, we got something, we got to find those people. And then it makes me think too of going to the Empires of Empire Dreams doc where the, you know, now late, but always great Alan Ladd Jr. is like, yeah, we had a nice, beautiful promotional booklet. We sent it to all these distributors of films and ain't no one got it. No one picked up on it, but it was Lippincott going, yeah, that will take care of itself. We need the fans to get it. And look what happens on opening day. Look at those famous shots of the Chinese theater. They got it. And Lippincott absolutely has his place. And final thought on this too. And this is, I don't know, it's hard to maybe go back in time, Joseph, because it just, again, it just seems it is what it is. But did we feel at the time, did you feel extra attached to Star Wars because it seemed like you were stepping into a larger world as a kid, the community, the fandom, the toys, the merch, you know, all of it? Did it feel a little extra?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was not anywhere near old enough to be attending WesterCon. You know, I think it was so smart to target those fans because they were going to be there on the first day, like you're talking about. They were going to be repeat viewers. They were going to be ambassadors because they were being given something that they didn't have enough of. Even though I was much younger, I did grow up feeling that way. And we've talked about it recently that there what just wasn't as much that was just otherworldly when I was growing up. I felt the real world was kind of beige and boxy and kind of boring. And there were the only TV shows ever. It was just like there's guys in mustaches and dark suits and they crash their identical looking cars into one another. And I guess that's kind of exciting. But now they're in an office talking and boy, the real world seems drab and boring. And I wouldn't have been able to articulate it when I was a kid. But like, that's why I loved comic books. That's why I love Star Wars, because suddenly there were colors and there was motion and lightsabers and imagination. And it looked like the way I wanted the world to be. I wanted the world to be as exciting as Batman and Darth Vader, you know? Yeah. And that to me is the best way to answer your question. Yeah. I hadn't even been alive long enough to be bummed out by the world. But Star Wars felt like this explosion of imagination that I needed, even at an incredibly young age. And I knew and that's why I always wanted to get back to it, to be in that world of imagination instead of this, you know, slightly more beige, boring real world.
Yeah, you know, I was done watching episodes of Fall Guy on TV. I wanted something else. You know what? And so I was old enough. I did go to Los Angeles WesterCon. I got a media badge, but all that got me was access to the parking lot. So I wouldn't complain about that. No, beautifully said. I hate to undercut it with my stupid humor, but beautifully said there, Joseph. And it's not about, it wasn't like I wanted to be part of the in crowd, because trust me, liking Star Wars for a lot of years was not the in crowd. But when I had been aware of it, and I've always said I was one when my parents took me and blah, 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 don't remember it. And I saw the toys and all the stories we love sharing here because they're part of our fandom. But the one of seeing the Return of the Jedi trailer at a slumber party is so big for me. There's so many things because the images grabbed me. But it was my friends already knew. And again, it wasn't just I need to be cool like my friends. It was like, what am I missing? Because they were like reacting like, oh my God, that's so-and-so and he's back. And this and that. And there was names I didn't understand. I just remember there one guy looks like a green pig. What's going on? But I just felt like there truly was a larger world there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a new movie had shown up. It wasn't like Flight of the Navigator. What's that? It was like a lifestyle, a world, a fandom before even a community before I even understood what those words meant. And then, yeah, the toys are there, the posters, everything's there, and it's made to order, and you could look at that cynically, of course, but, like, as a kid, that's what pulled me in, and I gotta believe, time and time again, that happens, and a lot of that does go back to Charles Lippincott saying, hey, I got a different way to promote this.
Yeah, absolutely. I also just wanted to be sure to shout out, since we're talking to Charles Lippincott, there's a marketing executive from Fox at the time named Ashley Boone, who went on to have a successful career and then some not great stuff as well. There is a great article about him on Hollywood Reporter. If you Google Ashley Boone plus Hollywood Reporter, you get a great article. But he's one of the people who kind of who made what Lippincott did actually work. Here's a quote from the article, because he was actually working with Fox. His job was to promote Fox films. He's one of the people who believed in Star Wars early when he saw an early screening. Here's a quick quote from the article. Lucas and Boone, Ashley Boone, argued for opening Star Wars a month earlier around Memorial Day on just a couple of screens in big cities, betting that it could attract young people who would spread word of mouth while they were still in school. John Creer, then president of Exhibitor Relations, would recall, Ashley was an astute judge of pictures. He said Star Wars would do over $200 million before anyone had seen the picture. So the context of that is, like, normally a summer movie is June. And the kind of the staid logic was, well, once the kids are out of school, they'll go see the movies. So I think this kind of 1-2 punch of Boone going, like, no, open it early and the kids will go back to school and they'll tell everybody about it. And all the sci-fi fantasy fans that you know, Lippincott and Mark Hamill are whipping up will be there on the first day, too. And the word of mouth will be wildfire, and we'll get the famous photos that live on 40 plus years later of, you know, of Grommens and people going, what in the world is this? I got to see that. Look at those lines. What is this for a Star War? What's that? And Ashley Boone is a huge part of that as well.
100%. And you talk about, you know, I remember 2015 and the crazy idea that Star Wars was going to come out in December, but it was like, no, let's change it. What you're describing is the same thing for back then. You tell me, May, what are you nuts? What are you nuts? And have someone like Ashley Boone to support it there. That's a great story. And yeah, and it is a story not often told and connected with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's important to dig into even more around these parts. So I really appreciate you bringing him into that conversation, Joseph.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for letting me go on a bit.
No, absolutely. All right, friends, we've done it. We've talked about Star Wars news, Star Wars history. We have done it all. We're going to get out of here for today. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcasts available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. Oh, so much more. Look and find us if you can rate and review and would like to do that. Please do so. It helps the show. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, KatNapsok.com. Speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, not promoting a Star Wars picture, but I will be in the area doing a show on July 21st, Mark Ellis and Friends Comedy Show at the American Comedy Company. Information on my website. Before I toss it over to you, Joseph, we'll highlight again great GoFundMe that we are supporting here at Force Center called What Choice? Star Wars Fans for Abortion Access. It is on GoFundMe.com/F/what-choice. But if you find some tweets, even go to our Twitter feed, we put a link out as well. You can join that cause if you want. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for more comedy adventures from the past and coming up in the future. I was actually doing some cleaning in my apartment, and it reminded me, hey, I wrote a book about 12 years ago. And I was like, hey, I should, not 12 years ago, about 10 years ago. Actually, it was. It came out in 2012. I did a Kickstarter. It's called Comedy of Doom. It is a collection of jokes and essays and stories about just pop culture and nerdy stuff. I'm sure some of it is hilariously dated at this point. So hopefully it's still funny, and then also funny because it's dated. So if you're interested in that, you can find links on my website, Comedy of Doom. It's available all the normal kind of places. Books are available. So I thought I'd highlight that. And then I also want to continue to highlight, along with the wonderful GoFundMe, Vote Forward. It is a service that lets you write letters to other voters, encouraging them to use their power. I know I've promoted it a lot. There's been a lot of discussion this week that people are extremely understandably upset with elected officials not having a better plan, not having better communication. And I really hear and understand that frustration. But I also think it's important to not just stop at the frustration, but to keep fighting, as Star Wars tells us, to keep pushing for those little victories, you know. And if I write 200 letters and one more person votes who didn't in a crucial place, that is a victory that matters for me. So that's why I do it. If you're interested in checking it out, you can go to their website at votefwd.org.
Great stuff. Great stuff. I love it and support that as well. That's it for this week on the Star Wars News Show that we got going here. We'll see you around, my friends. This was Force Center.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.